Hey, everybody. This is Diana Victoria Quinn from TFN Realty, and you're listening to the Real Talk Real Estate Podcast, the uncensored show that keeps it real for people who love real estate. We'll have some of the best interviews with some of our industry's most exciting people right now on a variety of different topics. We promise not to bore you. So today we are interviewing Sasha Shmidov.
Perfect.
With a V.
With a V.
And Sasha has been with TFN for how long?
Oh my God, I can't remember. 5.5, I think.
Okay.
I think.
And how many years have you been in real estate?
Since 1991. September 30th, 1991, that's when I got my license.
That's a long time.
Yes, it is.
So we are going to ask you 23 questions.
Okay.
Okay. You haven't seen the questions.
No, I
have not.
You don't
know what they are. They are all rated PG. And the idea for this interview is for, we know you on a certain level, on a professional level, but we want other people to get to know you.
Okay.
Who you are, what's your personality like. You're one of my favorite TFN agents, actually.
Thank you.
And I
That's
guess
nice
this,
to know.
This interview will explain why. So let's start. How are you feeling right now? Right
Perfect.
Now in this moment?
Good. Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How did you start your day today?
I had difficulty crawling out of bed because I woke up in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep. And then like around 6 o'clock, I fell back asleep and woke up at 8.
Okay. And then what?
And just took a shower, put my makeup on, got dressed and got here.
Came to work.
Yep.
Do you like living in downtown Toronto?
I love it.
Why?
Love it.
What do you like about it?
Well, it's something that I've been dreaming about for, like, when I first came to Toronto, I lived downtown, right? Like, I live right near St. Lawrence Market. So, actually, it's one of my favorite areas in the city. And I walk downtown back and forth all over, like, I know downtown so well. And, suburbia is for families, mm-hmm. for raising families, for building homes, etc., etc. But it comes the time where you just want that enjoyment of a downtown living because everything is nearby, everything is within walking distance. Like, I went to Italy this weekend and I hit myself on the head. How come I don't shop here? It's so much fun. Seeing people, drinking wine, eating pizza, communicating. It's like it was so busy. And I'm a creature of habit, so I still do my shopping here up north. Uh-huh. I go to the bank because they know me. Like, listen, I've lived here since 91, right, up north.
Yeah.
And up until, 3 years ago, that's when I moved downtown. And,
so you raised your kids in the suburbs.
I raised my kids in suburbs. And then when the kids left the house, I realized that I'm living this humongous house by myself. I'm being miserable because I only use my kitchen, my family room, and my bedroom. And I enjoy entertaining, so I invite people in, and that's when I use my dining room. I haven't gone to my living room maybe once every 3-4 months. I haven't gone to my basement. Like, it's just like something that you don't use. And you feel like this is all so not right, like having all this space for nothing.
Mm-hmm. And it's a different pace, I think, right?
It's a different pace.
Downtown, it's more urban. It's fast-paced. It's exciting. There's
it's exciting.
So much going on. In the suburbs, I live in the suburbs, it's a slower pace. It's a different dynamic.
It's not that it's slower, it's just different, okay? It's not that it's slower because you still have these people who are very, very busy with their lives. It's like more small town versus cosmopolitan.
Yeah. Where did you grow up?
What do you mean?
Where did you grow up as a child?
As a child, I'm from Kiev.
Okay.
Yeah. And we immigrated to USA in 1978, and I lived in Texas. I lived in Dallas, and then I got accepted to the University of Texas in Austin. And that's probably my absolutely nostalgic place out of all places. I love Austin. And in 1986, well, I got married in 1985 to a Canadian, well, Russian-speaking Canadian. And first we lived in Dallas, and then he sponsored me to come to Toronto. And ever since then, it's been my city.
To the north? And the weather? Was that difficult?
Well, everybody thought that I was a cuckoo, okay? Because, like, here's this 20-something-year-old girl comes with her cowboy boots and cowboy belt, and, like, I mean, looking at everybody, like, people are even dressing differently here, right? Like, so...
Definitely not cowboy boots.
No cowboy boots. No cowboy boots. And it took me a while, but I'm very observant, right? Like, I watch people. This is my hobby. I watch people. I observe. I take in whatever I see. And I guess it was, like, Toronto grew on me. Mm-hmm. Like, every time somebody says something against Toronto, I say, well, you have the right to get the f*** out.
All right. What is something that you didn't expect about being a realtor?
It's a drive, definitely. Like, I mean, you need to be... there are people who entered this profession for the wrong reasons, okay? And we all know that, right? And that's why we have how many thousands? 80? On the Toronto Real Estate Board?
Actually, 92,000.
That's scary.
92,000 agents in Ontario.
But on TREB for Toronto. I think it's like 80-something or whatever. So when I got into this business, there were 17,000 agents. And we were, like... You need to be professional. That's why I enjoy working with people who are old mentality. Meaning what? Like, I mean, we do our work from A to Z. Like, we do our research. We do, like, whatever. I'm looking at the newbies. They just want to grab and grab and grab and grab and run away. This is how the newbies are doing their business right now. It's not that I'm trying to put them all down. But I guess because there's so much competition and they're trying to grab as much business as possible, not thinking ahead or in advance. Nobody's thinking in advance right now, okay? Where we were building our client base and our clients stayed with us forever and ever and ever, the newbies want to do business right this second and run off and go to the next one.
Next question, real estate related. What has been the most rewarding transaction you've ever done?
Oh, God. I've had so many.
You've had many.
I've had so many. I don't want to discuss it because it will be a privacy issue. But I actually did one that is supposed to close in March 7th. And that was helping two people out. The seller and the buyer. And I was breaking my head for a long time because I didn't have any showings on that property. And I was like, and then it dawned on me that one of my clients requested specifically that particular something. And I called him up and I said, I have something for you. Do you want? And he said, sure. And I was like, something that I was sweating for over a month, like, happened in 5 minutes.
You didn't think that you'd be able to pull it off.
Well, I believed in it, that it was for him, and because he trusts me with, like, he trusts me. Actually, this particular client, I met him because he was the landlord for a different client of mine. And when I realized that he is a big investor, it took me three years to start trusting me and buying units from me, condos from me. And ever since then, everything that I offer that I think is appropriate for him, he always goes for.
And I think you just mentioned something really valuable, that it
trust.
Took three years.
Yeah.
For
three
your
years.
Client yeah. to trust mm-hmm. you.
It took
this
3 years.
This is not a business where you can't build trust overnight.
No, you can't.
Especially when you're dealing with hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars.
You know, Diana, yes. And this is what I keep on saying. And like, I'm very controversial here, right? Like, I mean, and probably lots of people won't appreciate what I have to say here. We are dealing with larger amounts that some of the lawyers do. Okay? We're dealing, so I think we need to be a lot more professional. Well, no, the lawyers are professional, but like we have to, it was back when I started and it still is, we need to educate the public that we are handling their absolutely biggest transactions of their lives. Mm-hmm. And we need to educate them and we need to...
And look out for their best
interest. And look out for their best interest. And it's like, you know what? Anybody who is anybody can be a real estate agent right now. And what's upsetting me that just because like they've been in business for, let's say, 6 months and they are trying to, it's very difficult for them. Let me tell you, it's very difficult for them because of the competition. And they're trying to establish their names. So how are they establishing their names? You know the answer? Mm-hmm. Cutting the commission. Mm-hmm. Okay? They're cutting the commission, and the public goes for it. They don't check that agent's credentials.
So what do you say when your client says, what can you do for me? So-and-so is offering me 1% listing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kick back some of your commission?
I always say that I need that extra percentage as my negotiating power. So if I have to negotiate something down by my percent, I want to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't want to put the transaction at risk just because I don't have that. Like that extra 1% is my negotiating power.
Okay, fair. It's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, it is. And like, you know what? Nobody has ever had a problem with that. And I know how good of a negotiator I am.
Mm-hmm.
So... you want to try somebody who's been in the business for 6 months? Go for it.
How would you rate your selling abilities from 1 to 10?
On which side?
Listing side.
I'm very strong.
Buying side.
I'm strong, but then I'm very opinionated as well. Okay, so I do put my opinions in for the buyer. And I do understand that they do trust me. They listen to me. But when we, and I know that sometimes it goes against me because like, and I always teach agents who ask me questions that, you know what, your client will remember you by your transaction, not how much $100 you are going to try to save for them because mm-hmm. at the end of a game it's insignificant, right? Yeah. Like, but sometimes I fall for my own mistakes, like mm-hmm. I mean for my own, like whatever mm-hmm. I preach I don't always follow, but like I know what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Like I basically say, like, your client will remember you for the transaction done,
yeah,
not for something that you are trying to do for them.
And I have worked with you personally on the listing side.
Yes.
And
you were surprised.
And I was surprised, yes. But what I've noticed and what I learned about you and other experienced agents, like myself as well, that you are very, you're very direct.
I'm very nonsensical.
You're very honest.
Yeah.
You're not here to be a pleaser. You're
no.
here to get the job done.
Absolutely.
And you get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the difference between somebody who's experienced and confident and somebody who's new to the business.
Well, I guess I being in the business for so long, you earn yourself that power and that comfort zone where you can be absolutely direct. And that's the problem on
but
my buying
again
side.
About looking out for your client's best interest.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to sugarcoat things and to get them to like you as a person isn't looking out for their best
mm-hmm.
interest.
Absolutely.
Being honest and direct about these are the things that I suggest that you do. These are the ways that I suggest that you look at this transaction. This has value.
It definitely does. Besides, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the sixth sense, but on the buying side, right? Like when I always tell my clients, watch my body language, because I don't know how I behave. Honestly, I cannot track it. But I've noticed that if I go room to room and I'm looking here and I'm looking there and I'm looking everywhere and I'm curious about this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, this is the house or a condo for you to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. If I walk in and walk out,
you're not interested.
Absolutely. Like, I do have that sixth sense, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe it's developed with experience or whatever it is.
Okay. Next question. What have you done for the first time recently? It can be anything. Doesn't have to be professional.
You don't want to hear it.
We can edit this video.
Okay. This podcast. I basically decided that the first 6 months of this year, I'm going to be traveling nonstop.
I love that.
And that's what I'm doing. Yes. When I come back, I go like, oh my God, I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do that. And then I sit back. I'm leaving in a week. Why do I need to get anything started? Because I'll stress myself out like really badly. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, I promised myself I'm going to be traveling. Just enjoy.
I love that. Self-care is really important.
It is.
And enjoying your life.
Yeah.
10 years from now, where would you like to be?
I would love to have Toronto as my home base. And I would love to, and it has nothing to do with the business, okay? I'd love to have Toronto as my home base, but I would love to spend a month here and a month here and a month here, and I want to have different homes.
Okay. Do you think you'll be working?
I don't know. Listen, 10 years ago, I said to myself, 5 more years and I'm done. And every year I say 5 more years and I'm done.
This is a very difficult business to retire.
It's very difficult business to retire. It's on you. Like, it's here. Like, I mean, what do you do when there's no, like, when you don't do anything? Mm-hmm. What do you do? I don't know what to do with myself.
Who is your favorite client type?
Somebody who trusts me.
Okay. What is the craziest thing you have ever done?
In real estate?
Anything.
You don't want to know. You definitely don't want to.
Tell us.
No. Okay. That's a private thing.
All right. What is the most bizarre thing that you have ever seen in a property?
God, there have been so many of them.
You know, it's funny. I'm part of this Facebook group, one of the realtor Facebook groups, and they're constantly showing bizarre things that they find in these homes.
Well, you know what? Since I started doing mostly pre-construction,
you just see standard deficiencies.
Deficiencies are ridiculous, yeah. Right? Like, deficiencies are ridiculous. But in homes, are mold. Like, but it's not bizarre. It's like something that happens. I don't know. I really cannot tell. I can't answer that question.
Do you drink wine?
Yes, I do.
What is your favorite wine?
In the summer, I drink a nice Chardonnay, and I love California wines. And in the winter, I drink California cabs.
Do you like sweets?
Sweets.
Dessert?
Yes, I do.
What would you pair the California wine with?
Actually, California wine will, like, if you're talking about summertime, Chards will go wonderful with fruit. Like a pineapple or a cantaloupe. Well, I know that cantaloupe you cannot mix with anything, but like pineapple, oranges, like anything, like apples. And you know what I actually love to do? Somebody taught me that. Like, I love cheeses, but I don't like them on crackers. Okay. So what I do, I slice apples and I put cheese on the apple slice, and it's delicious.
Very thin.
Very, very thin, and like wine and that.
That does sound really good.
Yeah, it's actually very, very good.
What makes you the happiest, aside from wine and cheese?
My kids.
Aww.
My kids.
That's beautiful. Your favorite city in the world?
Austin, I told you.
And one thing that you always have in your car?
Log boxes.
funny. I have three in my passenger floor. Yeah. And every time I drive, they're just rolling back and forth.
Log boxes. I keep
telling myself I'm going to pick them up, and I never do. What are you watching on TV these days?
Oh, my God. Like, I'm a binger. So I started watching Handmaid's Tale. The Handmaid's Tale?
Netflix?
It's on Crave.
Okay. I don't watch TV, so I don't.
I do. Like, that's something that puts me to sleep, so that's what I do before I go to bed.
And our last question, would you ever consider opening your own brokerage?
That's an interesting. I did consider opening my own brokerage, and it was back in, I would say maybe 2000-something. And at that time, it was Coldwell Banker Town and Country, right across from Central Point. And I looked at the books, and I looked at everything else, and I made a decision against it. Because, like, I kind of have a feeling that the person who is good in selling, it's two different concepts, right? Like, I don't believe in broker of record or manager or the owner competing with their own agents in selling, right? Like, because I was a manager for two different companies for a couple of years. And I don't believe in managers or brokers or owners competing with their own agents. Therefore, like, being an owner, like, I will have, like, I don't like babysitting. Okay, mm-hmm. Like, and I don't want to be babysitting agents.
I want to sell.
Like, I mean, I'm a transactional person. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm a corporate, but I'm also very transactional.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
And I guess because I'm a corporate, I swung back, like, to pre-cons because it has a lot more
structure
corporate
and
structure.
Process.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Asha.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was painless.
I still want to hear about the craziest thing you've ever done.
I don't want to know.
But after we were off air,
yeah,
I'll get it out of you.
Okay, you think.
Okay. Thanks, Asha.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our guests and our editor. We hope that you enjoyed this new episode. And if you did, please subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Our goal is to continue to provide you with interesting content and exciting topics. To stay up to date with TFN's Real Estate Real Talk and to get all the behind-the-scenes content, you can follow us on Instagram at TFN Realty Inc. and on YouTube.